Well, let's pray. Father God, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for the revelation of you.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, for how you consistently show us who you are, your holiness, your love, your presence, your spirit. So God, we ask for you to minister to us today by your Holy Spirit. Lord, give us your insights, Lord. Give us your thoughts, Lord, that our lives would be enhanced so that we can also enhance the lives of others through what you show us. Have your way, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been challenged by the Holy Spirit actually since last year, and my challenge has been to develop more of the character of God into your life. And so to a lot of people that could mean a lot of different things. But to me, what the Lord is challenging me with is to understand his character in as it's revealed in his word. You see, through the ages, there's been a lot of things taught, a lot of things believed, a lot of things held as true that are really not that true. And Jesus had the same problem with the Pharisees. You know, he consistently was dealing with them because of their traditions. He said, you study the scriptures. You have them. You've read them all your life. And if you understood what Moses really wrote, you'd see that they talk of me. But they didn't. They didn't see. They had the truth there all along. He said, Moses wrote of me. So you can have the scriptures. You can have it right staring you in the face, but yet not have the scriptures, the truth, the revelation. And we need that understanding. If we are to be Christ-like, we need that understanding. Otherwise, we are man-like. And I want to start with something simple today, and this is going to be a series. And the title of this is that God is bigger than our sins. And through the course, when we're done here, we're going to get a very, very concise understanding of God's perspective. You see, there's two perspectives in this world, and we know that. All right, maybe, well, I would still say two. There's the way God perceives and understands, and then there's the way we understand through the shroud, through the enemies. You know, if you read in, if somebody can open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and read verse 3 and 4. And so, you know, just as right now with this, the presidential stuff that's going on and everything that's been going on, there's two perspectives. Mm-hmm. There's a perspective that is the truth. There's the perspective that a liberal media would want you to understand. I remember after the inauguration, and I was watching CNN News, and they showed the audience wasn't that big. I don't know what they're talking about. And they showed a picture with only a quarter of that whole field filled. They were giving you a perspective. When in all reality, when you look at the true pictures, it was filled. Mm-hmm. two perspectives, because there is a faction that wants you to believe something a certain way. And there is a faction in the spirit realm that wants you to see the truth through a certain perspective. And we have got to understand that. So anyway, if somebody has that,
right?
Yes, I believe so.
And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
There is a faction.
So that was 2 Corinthians 4:3-4.
Yep.
Yes. There is a faction out there that has designed a truth for you to understand. The Bible tells us that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God.
Amen.
We are to study, and that's what we're going to do, is a concise study. Now, let's open up our the Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. In the beginning, we need to go back to the beginning. And as I was been studying, and the Lord has been, you know, I don't know how you can read over and over and all of a sudden, whoa, I've never seen that before. You know, in fact, keep turning there, but in Genesis chapter 1 I was reading, and at first I heard it, and it was the creation process that was going on when the waters were separated in the firmament, and God said that let the waters bring forth creatures. Mm-hmm. And then within that, and it said it twice, and the fowls in the air.
Mm-hmm.
The water brought forth the fowls. And I went, whoa, I've never seen that before. Wow. But then it repeated it again in the next couple of verses. And then it says, and let the earth bring forth cattle and things that creep from it. But the fowl, and I scratched my head. Amazing. God's word is so deep. It's like, you know, the onion, you know, layer upon layer upon layer. But the great thing about the Holy Spirit is he brings it in specific timing.
Right.
It's time for another layer.
As you can understand.
Yeah. So I want to look at what happened with Adam and Eve, and I want to bring some light based on what we just read in 2 Corinthians. Now, we need to understand, get a clear thought in my mind. See, here's the problem, is sometimes we try to understand a truth from our humanistic, clouded perspective. How can we understand perfection? We can't. We've never been there. Adam and Eve. Okay, here's I am a terrible, terrible artist.
Better than me.
Now, they were in Eden. They were perfect. They were perfect in mind. They were perfect in body. And they were perfect in, okay, this, in spirit. Oops. Because they were created, God breathed the breath of life into them. The perfect breath. They were the ultimate perfection. Their minds. Think about a perfect mind. What would it only comprehend? Perfection. Now, have you ever wondered, and I began, it puzzled me that, of course, we know what they did. You know, we don't have to go through all that. But they never had the mindset to do wrong. that mindset wasn't there. They were not, they did not have a corrupted mind.
That's right.
But yet they did wrong. They were, well, Eve said it. The serpent beguiled me. Children don't do wrong until they're tempted to do wrong. You know, I can remember watching different people, you know, with little ones. Oh, go ahead and give that a taste. It'll be okay. You know, and it's fiery hot, you know. And you know, there's a lot of tricks that you pull on the innocent ones because they believe. They don't have the comprehension of offense. And the same with Adam and Eve. They were like innocent children. Never had an offense, never considered an offense. And we have got to allow that thought to set in our mind so that we can comprehend truth. So sometimes when we're studying the word, we have to take our mind here and just sort of put it off to the side and think by the Spirit. Think by the truth of God. Now, so we know they were, I'll use the word, duped. Mm-hmm. Had there been no serpent, had there been no beguiling, there'd be no disobedience.
That's right.
So, but what I want to extrapolate here is from this fall from perfection, something happened. And this is what we need to learn. Because Pastor Cindy, you just had a wonderful experience in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, in God. And you experienced His character. And so we need to see and understand by God's character. Because if not, we get a distorted view of who God is, which was what most of the world has out there.
That's right.
And until we were brought to a place in the Holy Spirit of understanding, we all had distorted views of God. Some people fear God because they fear that He's God waiting for you to do something wrong. And when you do wrong, boom, they live in that constant fear. Why? Because of the lack of the teaching or lack of understanding of God's true character. And so in these weeks to come, we're going to extrapolate God's perspective in many areas. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 tells us, "Do not add to His words. And don't take away, don't diminish. His word does not need our help." Now, I'll tell you how many people will add to the word without changing the word. Remember, the Pharisees had it. You searched the scriptures, but yet you got it wrong. Why? Many times, like, and you've heard me, those of who've sat under my teachings, how I share that God gives His word, His commands, His word, and He doesn't put emotion in it. Do what He says. It doesn't matter how it feels. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's His word. Do what He says, and you will prosper. But the problem is, people put the emotion into the word. And when the emotion goes into the word, it can change the perspective. Adam and Eve. Okay, they, I don't know how you spell dupe, not dope, duped. D-U, great, thank you.
D-U-P-E-D.
Now, you're going to see something here. They were duped. Okay? the sly creature duped him. Thank you, Lord. That was very timely.
Listen to him today.
Okay. Now, so we have the fall from perfection. They were duped. And what happened, one of the first things that happened when they ate of that forbidden fruit, what does the Bible say happened?
They realized they were
naked. Their eyes or their understanding was open. Now, they never understood what wrong was. So something came upon them to change their perspective about themselves, because they were always naked, right?
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, something that was good, now it's not good. Something that you live with, who knows how long they had lived in this? 50 years, 30, 70, 100 years, I don't know. But they had lived a life of perfection without any conscience of being wrong. So their eyes, their understanding was opened to wrong, and offense hit them. Okay? So, what was the first thing they did? Remember? Yeah. They covered themselves. They hid what they deemed as being an offense. And in their hiding their offense, it caused them to do another wrong, which was to hide themselves from God. Because they were afraid that God would see them in that condition. See, that perfection was gone. Now, here's where many have gotten it wrong. Okay, now let's look at God's perspective. Let's do a flip. God knew what had happened, right? He knew. So what did God do? First thing he did was he came.
He remained true to his character. He came to walk.
Absolutely. He came as usual. As usual. Looking for looking for the fellowship that he had. Who knows how long it had been? 10 years, 20 years, 30, 400, I don't know exactly how long that they had walked together. God would come. They knew that God was coming. But God came as usual. He knew, and then God called. In all these things, God stayed true to, like you said, Pastor Cindy, he stayed true to his character. The reason I'm saying this, God is bigger than our sin, is because sin does not change God.
That's right.
It causes man to change. When once you held God in high esteem in this relationship between you and him, and then when something goes wrong, when you do something awry, if you don't hold to his character, you will begin to change in your mind the way God perceives you. Now, so I want to extrapolate Now I'm going to share something here that's, I don't know how it's, we must understand Ephesians 3:10. Remember, the Bible tells us the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Before any of this ever happened, it was already decided that Jesus was going to come. Why? What's it? What's it all about? We know that there's a war going on. Good. Evil. God. Devil. We know that it's there. We know and understand that that war is going on. But there is something that you and I are in the middle of. The whole purpose for Christ coming, and we need to understand what it's all about. If somebody can read that, Ephesians 3:10.
His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realm.
Read that one more time. I like the way it says that.
His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. Ephesians 3:10.
Okay, let's bring this down a little more to where we are today. We just talked about the media and the truth. Why is the media bent on distorting truth? The liberal media, I should say. Because there are some good, you know, media out there like CBN, you know. There are some good media outlets, but why is it happening?
Control.
The minds. The mindsets, the perspective. I wrote a book called True Holiness, in which I said, whoever controls the people controls the mind. It's about controlling the people. The enemy, our devil, we can take that into the spirit realm, because nothing happens in the natural without it first happening in the spirit. The devil, Lucifer, Satan, his goal is, he wants control. He wants to defeat God through God's image. Let us make man in our image. God has an arch enemy. You know, and in fact, when you look at terrorism and evil people, oh, they're not going to attack you. They'll attack your children. You know, put a gun to their head, put a knife to their throat. If you don't do this or this, we're going to, you know, where you know, kill me. Take me. You would willingly die for your children, but to see your child, see, and the enemy is a terrorist. What's it all about? He hates the image of God. Whatever represents God, he hates. Look at it, what's happening in our sphere here. God is the one who originated the sanctioned marriage. Look what the enemy is doing to him. God loves the children. I knew you before you were born, when you were in the womb. Look what he's doing to the children. He is the ultimate terrorist. Damaging trying to damage God's image, to get at God. I don't use this word lightly, but we need to understand that we are like pawns in this chess game. We're on the winning side. And everything that is within God's character has been given to us. The Word of God. You know, look at the accusation against Job. You put a hedge about him. God will put hedges around us. God will protect us. That's God's character. Look at Noah's flood. You know, look at what happened with the children of Israel in Goshen when Egypt was being, like you were sharing last week. Egypt is getting plague after plague after plague. Goshen, they're just sitting back, just relaxed, enjoying, you know, nothing's happening there. God has a way. God can do the impossible.
Amen.
What isn't logical, God can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, God doesn't deal in our realm of logic. He's the one who created it so he can manipulate it.
That's right.
And it's true. And he does it to his own, you know. And in fact, he's done it already through his word. I got a question from a pastor in Africa about God's word. How does it stand forever? But he's already given us the whole outline until even the end.
Because God will be glorified in everything.
Yeah. And what we don't understand many times, I know we do, but the infallibility of the power of that word. God, if we can go back to the creation, God spoke and it was. If we can really grasp that will help us follow through the rest of what God spoke. Because the Bible says that the holy men of old, they wrote as God spoke. It's not their own conscience. It's not their own thinking. They had the ability to hear, you know, look at all these men, Abraham, all these people who God spoke to, and then they said, yes, I will. Get out of this land. Go over here. God had the ability to speak to man, and he still does. And so they wrote. Inspired by the Holy Spirit. So what's it all about? Well, we are in this game, in a sense, but we've been blessed to be a part of it. It's like you've ever prayed for somebody and you've felt the energy of God touch that person. See, we are in this, but we have the benefit of the presence and the power of God in our lives. We have the privilege of being conduits. You know, it's like it's like the Holy Spirit is a type of Drano going through the pipes. And there is an ultimate purpose for the Drano, and it's to unclog whatever is clogged, but the pipes get the benefit of that too. They become cleaner because they're the conduit. The pipes that don't get the Drano don't get that benefit.
I've never thought of the Holy Spirit as Drano. That's a new one.
But as conduits, even though the purpose of God is not specifically for us, Lord, you know, I pray for my sister. But yet that energy, that virtue going through you, you benefit by it. And so in this world, in this life that we're living, we benefit in so many ways by God's Spirit in us.
Amen.
The battles, is the enemy going to come against us? Yes, but my grace is sufficient for you. The harder the battle, the greater the grace. He doesn't leave us in an unfair condition. In fact, The enemy looks at what God gives us as unfair because we always win. Or we have the propensity to always win if we, number one, believe. We have to believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what's it all about? It's about this whole thing right here. To the intent, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the manifold wisdom of God is being made manifest. There are things about God that the realm of the spirit, the angels, the fallen angels, they've never seen. You know, I remember when I was first born again, we sang a song. It's a song the holy angels cannot sing. There's things that you and I experience that the angels can never experience. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. A song holy angels cannot sing. I once was lost, but I'm found. Angels can't sing about being healed, delivered, freed. Angels can't sing about having their eyes opened. Angels don't sing about his mercies are new every morning. So many facets of God that the angels, that spirit realm has never experienced, but by us being those diamonds with many facets, we're displaying mercy, the love, the forgiveness, the long-suffering, all these virtues, characteristics of God. It's being manifest. What's it all about? God is proving himself. Did you know that God cares about his character?
Yes, he does.
He watches over his character.
For his name's sake.
For his name's sake. I do this for my sake.
That's right.
Not for yours. How many times do we read, God says, I am the Lord. I am just. Mm-hmm. I am righteous. Mm-hmm. He is displaying his character. He's putting it out there. Mm-hmm. I am not like a man. Mm-hmm. I do not lie. Mm-hmm. I do not change. Mm-hmm. He's putting it out there.
And protecting it.
And protecting it because he's already brought his word. Mm-hmm. So we can stand on those things. What's it all about? It's about us reflecting his character. The problem is when this big E gets in there, emotion, mm-hmm. and S, self. I've been born again since 1972. I have been in a lot of different types of churches, been to different meetings. You know, I can remember I was 17. I love church. I love church. And I remember my girlfriend and I were driving and we seen a camp meeting. Let's go to the camp meeting. You know, it was right there, big tent, you know, and so we went and sat in the back, and our pastor's wife was there. You know, it was in Grand Haven. And when we sat down, and we were just out, you know, so I had shorts on, and we were dressed in jeans, and, you know. And all of a sudden, this preacher started preaching about people who dress, and they dress ungodly. Pastor Marilyn was her name. She turned around, she seen us, she goes, we know who she's talking to. Is that God's character?
No.
You see, you can get... I like that. It's timely.
It's confirmation.
That's great. That is really great. It's like the applause, you know? Yay.
God says, yeah, that was not me.
God has manifested his character and he doesn't change. We can take that all the way back to what happened with Adam and Eve. His mentality, everything has not changed. So what did he do when they finally got together? What happened? Well, we were naked and we hid ourselves.
Who told you were naked?
Who told you? You know, God was not railing on them.
That's right.
He was being their father. Mm-hmm. Who told you? And even to the next thing, now, God's character. What is the Bible's, one of the things that the Bible says about love, it hides
a multitude of sins.
Love hides a multitude of sin. So what was one of the first things that God did for? He dealt with them as a father would deal, because there were consequences, tremendous consequences to what happened. But the first thing that God did,
he covered
their shame. What they deemed as shame, God, one of the first things he did to be a father in his character is to cover their shame. Now, so let's take, I'm going to leave that there. Yeah, he killed the first animal. It was a skin. Don't know if it was a sheep or whatever, but it was a skin. And God had to shed blood. I don't think he went and sewed them together, made them out of material. So, covered. Let's go back and let's try to extrapolate the mind, what Adam and Eve, after they had were duped. I'll start out. We know that they had guilt. What else do you think?
Shame.
Shame.
I think remorse or regret.
Regret. Yeah. How about fear? They were afraid, so we hid ourselves. The result of an offense, guilt, shame. Here's one. If you understand human behavior, many times when you do something wrong, you do something else wrong to cover what you just did wrong. Right? Yeah.
Layer your sin.
You layer the sin. Because once you try to hide it, you can't stop. You keep going. But does the Bible say your sins will find you out?
That's exactly what it
says. So if we understood that, you know, I often wonder if Adam would have said, God, you know, I know you told us to not do this. I'm sorry, God. I was disobedient.
What was their mindset?
Well, that's
they thought they could hide.
What happened there?
Here's a big one. The big R. They reasoned. If you read that, they reasoned. They thought it would make them wise. They didn't know that they were wiser than anything.
It actually made them dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, it did.
Yeah. Think about
it. It did.
It dumbed them down. Where they were perfect in mind. Adam, he named every creature.
Every one of them.
Yeah.
And God accepted it.
Yeah.
Well, the fact that he remembered it. I can't remember yesterday.
Yeah.
But no, it didn't completely.
Yeah. So when you begin this with this de-escalation in your mind, Okay, the good, the proper, the right gets lost. Mm-hmm. Because you are C-O-N-S-U, consumed with that offense. Because it affects your mind and your spirit and your soul.
And they also tried to get rid of it because they tried to blame somebody else.
Yeah. Yeah. What would that be called?
Blame shifting.
That all falls under reasoning too. I mean, it's like when you sin, you try to make it sound like it's not as bad.
Well, yeah, they were trying to use their reasoning on God's logic.
Yeah.
Because
that's what we do nowadays. I mean, that's what our parents.
Our society. But see, we go back to what we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, how that the God of this world has blinded, has duped, has distorted the character of God into something that it is not. And somehow, when this new knowledge came to him, the character took back seat. You see how that happens? They didn't remember, hey, we've been walking with God all this time. We know he loves us. Mm-hmm. Where were the thoughts of love? Where were the thoughts of peace? Where were the thoughts of grace? Mm-hmm. Where were the thoughts of fellowship? Consumed.
So they don't come back because that's what they're consumed with.
Consumed.
What if God hadn't looked for him? You ever thought about that? What if God just didn't show up? Because of what they did. Because
he knew what they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, where would we be now?
Yeah.
We've been that dung heap at the end of the garden.
Right.
God's character is always consistent.
Consistent. Always.
For God so loved the world that he sent to cover. Love covers a multitude of sins. God is love. Love is God. Love is the character of God. It never ceases. It doesn't change. Love has to have consequences. You know, I was reading, I've been, when I'm doing some studies, I'm always trying to find Jewish perspectives from Hebrew rabbis, because they have some real interesting perspectives. Now, as we're going to discover as the weeks come, when you make a, in fact, let's take, everybody got their notes?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Looking at God's perspective, not man. See, man is subject, his perspective is subject to distortion because of our... Sometimes we can't filter out what is right and what is wrong because people are convincing. But, oops. When you look up in the New Testament, when you look up in the Old Testament, when you begin to study sin, The Hebrew thinking is when you do an offense, when you've done something wrong, what you have done is you've forgotten who you were. You have gone unconscious. and done something that is outside of who you are. So you make mistakes, you misbehave, I mean, we can go on down the line. Misdemeanor. See how they all, oops. In fact, if you look at a Greek interlinear Bible, where it says that Jesus Christ, he died for the sins of the world, in the Greek, it says it this way. And remember, it was written this way first before it was translated in English. This is what it would say. That Jesus died, he died for the misses of the world. When you look at the Greek text and the Greek translation, now, the character of God. God didn't say to Adam and Eve, why did you sin against me? Why did you sin against my word? If you are hearing somebody preach a sermon and they're preaching and says, you know, if you sin, you know, God is going to get you. You're going to hell because of your sins. Or if you hear somebody say, you know, we all have missed. And that's why Jesus Christ came, because we've all missed it. What flows more in the character of God?
Missed it.
Yeah. I pressed to hit the mark. Now, Karen and I were driving one time. We were going to, that one weekend we went to Ohio. And, you know, when I'm, when God is, when he's ministering to me, I look at things a lot of different ways. Now, if you had somebody stand there, and in fact, Beth, we're going to use you as an experiment.
Oh, boy.
I want you to stand there. I'm going to stand over here. I want you to throw at the target.
Throw at the target?
Yeah.
I used to play darts.
Okay.
And I can't see that far enough.
Oops. Oh, boy.
Yes, my perspective. That's why I'm going to the eye doctor.
Your depth perception's a little off.
That's way off.
Okay. Now here's a coach. Okay. The coach comes and says, now, this is what you need to do. You need to aim towards the top of the frame.
Right.
And then... and a little bit harder, and then as the distance go, it'll hit the target. When you get the instruction, and then you practice the instruction, you become more proficient.
That's right.
To where you can get closer to the target. Mm-hmm. You see, the Word of God gives us that instruction, mm-hmm, to help us get closer to the target. And I guarantee you, You take a week and you practice and you practice and you practice. When it's time to do it, you will be closer. Mm-hmm. And then you take another couple of weeks. You always get closer as you practice. The Bible tells us, in fact, Karen and I were discussing this morning. In fact, do you have your e-sword up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The scripture that says, well, there's probably many, but if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to see in the Greek what that word walk means. I think we may be surprised. Of course, we know that the target is Jesus. Jesus, his character, his love, his word. So that's our goal. Now, we talked about layers. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 3:20, I think, 19:20, it says that we're changed by the Spirit from glory to glory. Now, what does that mean? It means that it's a continuous process. Okay, we all start from somewhere. We all have a starting point. You know, I'm not going to expect, you know, little Judah, okay, it's time to hop in the car and drive.
I wouldn't want to do it right now.
You know, there is a process that we have to go through. That process, believe it or not, was created by God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. When he created man, there was the growth process. Nothing has instantaneous growth to it. From a seed to a human person, a tree, plants, there is nothing that's instantaneous. It all goes from a process. A seed, a shoot, a little growth. There are some things that take, like I plant lilac trees, and it takes years for them to grow. I plant tomatoes, you know, a couple months and they're ready to go. You know, there's a process in the cycle of life, depending on what is growing. Things, thank you, Holy Spirit. Things that need to endure harder times take longer to grow. Corn, the food that grows fast, but it doesn't have to go through a winter. But the trees, the oak, the apple trees, the peach trees, they all have a stronger or longer process because they have to endure. Wow.
And Father God said he's the one that's transforming us into the image of his son. So his
Yes.
His process.
Yes.
If we would submit to the process.
John 15.
Is that where it's at?
I'm the vine.
Oh, John 15.
The Father is the husbandman. And we are the branches.
Yes.
So our Father is the one who's taking care of us to make sure that we grow strong. Sometimes we need to have a little stake along our back to help us grow up straight. True?
Sometimes
we need a snip.
Sometimes, yeah. But our Heavenly Father knows when the perfect timing is for all of us. See, we're covered. Like I said, we're in this game, and I don't use it in a derogatory, but there, you know, it's an arena.
We're in a war.
We're in a war. We're in an arena, and it's called this world.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And we're in this arena, we're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. And many times things become manifest in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
But God has given us the weapons to use to win. Every time. Now, we may, you know, you may get knocked down once or twice. that doesn't mean you lose. So God is bigger. We have to understand. I don't recollect the scripture right now, but let's understand. I often ask this question, and it's sort of a trick question, but yet it's a true question. Who is the originator of sin? God is.
Yeah, that's right. You love it.
God is, because if you have good, how do you know what is good
if
there's not evil? In fact, the scriptures bear that out. I create evil, it says in Isaiah.
He created the truth.
Yeah.
Knowing full well that his temptations.
Because if there's good, there has to be wrong to prove that the good is good. See, God, so that's why God is not afraid of sin. He's not afraid of it. He knows how to manage it. And see, and that's where a lot of people, they get the emotion and they get the wrong doctrines behind it, because they think, they treat it as something that's not manageable, and that the only way that God can deal with it is to punish it and put it in hell. That's not the character of God. You missed a trick question.
Okay. Just had to go potty.
Where was sin originated from? Where did it come from?
Or Jesus said that the devil has been sinning since the beginning. It says he's been a murderer. It's a verse.
God originated sin. I create evil, he says, Isaiah. I create the darkness. I create the light. The point is that God is good. How do you know it's good?
Because you have to know it's bad, you know.
God is the epitome.
You gotta know it's dark to know it's light.
God is the epitome of what is good and right. Mm-hmm. And so, and the final comment was, that's why God is not afraid of the issue of sin. He doesn't treat it as something that's got to be buried and something that's got to be damned. And he can embrace it because he knows
what
it's all.
That's what I love about the verse in John 1, is it says that Jesus is the light.
Yes.
He is life.
Yes.
And this is the part that I always loved. And darkness has never overcome it. That
it
right there can carry you through a lifetime.
Yeah. And it proves it in the natural.
Yeah. You might not like the results of something, but evil does not win.
Yeah.
At the end of the age, we will all be witnesses. Evil, you didn't win.
Amen.
Amen?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So we've just stepped into the beginning of some weeks that we're going to have on understanding this whole issue.
Man, I hope you guys take good notes for me.
But it is, we have to maintain the character of God in all things. And everything that we understand to be true, does it line up with God's character? That's the question we have to ask. Does it line up with the character of God? We have to say the base part has to be, does it line up with the word? But as we understood, the Pharisees had the word, but they didn't have the character. Does it line up with the character of God? The character of God is his word, right? Mm-hmm. It's all put together. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you, God, that you are truth. Your word is truth. Your presence is truth. Your spirit is the spirit of truth. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given that unto us. So we ask for you to continue to reveal to us your thoughts, Lord, your insights, your character, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Cindy, we want to pray for you.
Yes, please.
Yes.